Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate 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 Vasudevaya. Welcome everyone to the second part of our Bhakti Essential series. These are eight sessions all together, which highlight the essential points of bhakti in such a way that they will be able to spark or empower your personal spiritual journey. Thus, we have maybe different from other online presentations which we give a lot of experience oriented exercises, I should say, and also when we end our sessions, we will give you a little list of recommendations how you can practice what you have heard in these sessions, and in this way bridge the gap between theoretical understanding on one side and practical realization on the other. This bridge is made out of the beams of practice. Last time when we were online, last Tuesday, we were discovering really the starting point of our spiritual journey, to become aware of our identity, which is more than just a biochemical robot. That is the starting point. Now, of course, that should not remain a theoretical understanding, but as my spiritual master stressed, it should be a realized understanding. Therefore, I would like to suggest that at the very beginning of today's session, which is all on divinity, divine presence, and so on, that we just repeat a little and simple exercise what we have learned last Tuesday. That will also help those who come and join us for the first time a chance to just get the benefit of the first session. I would like you all to take now a straight sitting position. Even if you sit on the chair, that's very fine. If you sit on a floor, It does not really matter, but we want to have a straight position. That will give you, let me say, a better connection with your vehicle, the physical body. I would like you now to repeat after me three times the sacred syllable Om. And during this time, just relax. Leave your day behind. These sessions are also quiet times for you, special times where you can take care of your inner growth. So please arrive in the here and now. Sit heavily with some good anticipation what will come, and repeat after me. I will one time say it, the Om alone, then we will do it all together. Om. A deep inhale, please. Close your eyes. Sit in a relaxed way. And do a few deep breaths. In and out. Deep relaxing breaths. And whenever you breathe out, relax a little more. Life is simple. It's just you and your breath. Feel your back resting against the leaning place in your chair, or when you sit on the floor, feel your bottom touch the cushion or wherever you sit. Now, listen to the sounds that surround you. And if there's absolutely no sound, listen to silence. The sounds which you hear unexperience. It is an observation. experiences and observations change. But you, the one who makes the experience and observation, remain the same. As you breathe in and out deeply, you may smell some fragrance, or you may feel the sensation of the air as it touches your nostrils. All these things are experiences that you observe. The experiences change, but you, the witness or observer, remain the same. The entire world that surrounds you, which includes the body and the mind and the external surroundings, are experiences that you observe. They always change, but you are always there witnessing these changes or experiences. Anything that we sense, anything that we feel, anything that we touch, any thought we think, or any feeling that arises, are experiences which we, the self inside, experience or observe. They change, but we remain the same. In the Gita, we hear, as the self moves in this life, from childhood to the state of a grown-up person, then an aging and old man or woman, that self similarly at the time of death witnesses another change, but it remains the self. Slowly come back to room awareness. We will move now to our next subject. This is a very, very good exercise. So often the circumstances in our life push us around and we react to them. But if we can just make a step back into the observer position, and wait before we react, until the dust settles, so to say, we will make amazing insights. And further on, we will save ourselves a lot of trouble because we have not reacted immediately on the changing notions in the world. This much as a repetition on identity, but I can assure you, you need to practice this perception until you become, it's called Svastha, perfectly situated in this understanding. By the way, in Ayurveda, Svastha is a word for health, to be situated in that good understanding in the self. To really understand bhakti, we need three understandings. First, who we are, that is why we started with identity. Then, who is the divinity, who is God? And finally, we need to also understand the world. And when we can see the relationships which the three have, how I relate to the world, how the world relates to me, how I relate to the higher connection, and how that spiritual reality shapes me. If we understand these relationships, we are fixed in sambandha. That is a word for all these types of relationships, and we are nicely situated. Now, you have noted that I use the word divinity, God, the unknown, interchangeably, because just like many, many modern people, I have also had second thoughts on using only the word God. Because the word God is associated with so many concepts that it can be quite bewildering. Some religions present God as an unforgiving judge, a killjoy, so to say, who interferes with the human need for pleasure. Others, scientists belong to this category, who are not convinced that there is a higher force than what they can observe. They will say the word God is a crutch for those who are weak and need to have some emotional understanding of the unexplainable, which we scientists can clearly see before our eyes. And there is also a great resentment about religions in general who misused God in the past to explain away atrocities, wars, crimes, which they say needed to be there in the name of God. I have seen debates and discussions, like most of you, where intelligent people just shed light on how much abuse was done with the word God. And therefore, whenever we use that, we may become a little bit uncomfortable, and we modern people like to just have a placeholder for this, which can be filled according to people's taste with the name the unexplainable divinity, the divine presence, and so on and so forth. And I think we need to address this. We need to be aware that there is such a sensitivity, and we need to at the same time not throw away the baby with the bathing water. That's what we say in Germany. You know, you have a baby which is good, but you have all around the baby dirty bathing water. So when you want to get rid of the bathing water, don't pour your baby out of the window. So let us today investigate a little bit the divinity. And I would like to share with you how Bach does see this divinity. I will, in a little while, you would say, see a little video which goes together with these sessions where I explore this a little bit more. But here I want to say the bhaktas or bhakti yogis see the beloved, let me use this word for a moment, in a variety of ways. He's not just one thing or one understanding, but he is so totally beyond the human mind and its perceptions and observations that he is really very vast. The first understanding is to see God as Brahman, the vast energy which keeps this whole world together, just like a string, you can see here, which keeps pearls together. The Brahman is the vast energy which keeps all the atoms and all the manifestations together, but which is also beyond this whole universe as a vast energy full of light. The second understanding is Paramatma, that is the super soul who exists right there in the heart, so that you can open a communication and feel intuition, inspiration, and inner guidance. You know, that unerring little voice inside who always tells you the right path. That is the, my spirit master would say, the localized form of that vast, vast Brahman. And then there is the third aspect, which is Bhagavan, who has many names like Ram, Govinda, Krishna, and who is the most surprising embodiment of loving relationships. He's never to be put in a box. He is always joyful and at the same time identical with the Lord in the heart, Paramatma, and the vast Brahman. Let me give you an example. Imagine there is a festival day and you come to the town from a distance. First, you will see the town as light. Light that extends so beautifully up to the clouds. It is the Brahman in the analogy. Then you come closer, you enter the streets and you see some houses, it's a festival day, they are lit. And you can enter one of the rooms and open communications. Where's this? Where's that? This is equivalent to the super soul, the divine presence in the heart, with whom you can open communication. You can turn and receive answers, inspirations, knowledge, and he can help you also out with some forgetfulness. So then imagine you who have now entered the city, which you saw first as a vast mass of light, go right to the marketplace. There's the music, there's the dancing, there's the theater, there are all kinds of festivities, there's exchanges, people might, you might be greeted there. Oh, nice that you have come. Oh, have you drunken this amazing fruit juice? And so on. And there is a relationship. This last aspect of the town is, how do you say, the aspect of a loving relationship, which is possible to have with the Lord as Bhagavan, who goes by these many, many names. I must confess to you, I always think spiritual truth will be a universal truth. So what I've just said, three aspects of the same divinity with whom you can relate in a different way, is expressed very nicely by Rumi. I've written down this poem and I want to say it for you. Every child knows about God. Not the God of the many do's and don'ts, but the one who keeps on repeating four magic words. Come, dance with me. Yes, also from this tradition, we find the dimension of God with whom you can have loving relationships. It's ecstatic relationships even, is highlighted. Even our own Friedrich Nietzsche, I think in English you would say Friedrich Nietzsche, wrote, I would believe in a God who would know how to dance and to play a flute. Yes, this playful, ecstatic, divine aspect of God, to whom you can not just open a relationship in the heart, but who can be there as a guiding force in your life, an arrangement, and a presence in which you're just living. That is a very good understanding. Ultimately, my dear listeners, the highest way to become convinced is of divinity is by the experiences of the divine people who have been touched, the saints. They have felt the permanent imprints of their divine experiences. Because whenever someone in any culture has a genuine contact, not mental, but a genuine experience contact, he will be uplifted and he will be permanently transformed. So here I would like to read you a little from the Gita, some symptoms of the person who has felt and realized the divine presence. One who is absorbed in him is full of spiritual joy. He never laments or desires to have anything. He's equal towards all beings. He's friendly, compassionate. And in that state, where he is free from anger and envy, he attains pure love. A person who is living in this divine connection is happy, he's joyous, he's illuminated within. My spiritual master used to say, he can therefore sit silently at any place and enjoy the activities of life from within. He has been fireized, inspired, enlightened. And the greatest problem which we experience, the problem that the mind always imprisons us, is the jailer and we are the prisoner, the mind becomes equipoised. The mind, which is always engaged in the divine, is the cause of the supreme liberation. The Vedas say, where we can meet him. Listen, because then we will enter into meditation right after. This is space in your heart, where everything meets. Come there if you want to find me. Mind, soul, God, and eternity. All are there. Are you? Where are you? Have you found that space inside where mind, eternity, self, God, everything is there? Enter the space. You will find quiet ecstasy there. And the feeling that you are resting in a perfect place. There are many names for this meeting place inside. It can be the sky of the heart, the lotus of the heart, the temple of the heart. There, that divinity can be found and he's enshrined there. He's, in other words, not a far away, distant being, is very close, but you need to enter that inner space and not look for him in the shopping mall, although you could find him there as well. So, I would like to make a meditation now with all of you, where you can experience a contact with that divinity. I will bring you to that inner space, and I will hopefully be able to let you make a beautiful observation and insight that could make your day, that could make your day and your week as well. Again, let us center ourselves. Just take a deep breath inside. And chant. Take a few deep breaths. In and out. Allow your breath to lengthen. In and out, long breaths. focus now your attention on your heart space. There, notice when you inhale how there's a joyous feeling inhale joy and exhale relaxation. Good. Inhale joy. Now in your mind's eye, connect with the Supreme Self, Divinity, and let the image of a divine smile arise from within. Meditate on that smile. Which is full of grace, unlimited happiness. Maybe you want to think of the smile of the Buddha, or the smile of Krishna. Happy, wisdom and joy-filled smile. Meditate on that smile which is sublime and both welcoming and reassuring. Meditate on that smile, which is full of blessings, benevolent, full of well wishes. The smile seems to say, it's all right. Now gently end your meditation. Wrap your palms. Bring them to the eyes like you're doing some palming. Then gently remove your hands. Look into your hands where you see the lines. See if you see them for the first time. In bhakti, the Lord is seen as a divine being full of joy, and full of well wishes, really. As the best friend, there are three words which I know of in the Sanskrit language about friends. First, there's the mitra. That's more like a social friend. You know, when you are on the street and you have so many social exchanges, there will be many mitras. Then there's a bandhu. That's more like an official friend, maybe friend of the family, of your brother, your sister. But then there's the sudhit. Sudhit is someone who is first of all knowing you fully and accepting you as you are, and who is full of well wishes. My spiritual master used to refer to Krishna as a sudhit. He is in the heart of everyone. He accompanies them from lifetime after lifetime. And he always has a message. Come, give yourself over to me. And then you will not experience the unnecessary miseries. Why are you acting independently? I shall give you protection. He would say like this to make it very clear that this is not a distant concept, but something very close that you can go to. And therefore, in the bhakti tradition, it says one should meditate about the generous smile of Hari. So that's what a friend shows you, no? A generous smile. The Bhagavad Purana says, a smile that drives away the ocean of tears of all those who offer their homage unto him. We talk of something very close, and every person knows this close divine presence. But unfortunately, only in moments where something happens so that we are taken out of our dream, our material dreams, and we suddenly awaken. Before ending this presentation, I would like to leave you with a few simple practices which you can do at home and which can help you to imbibe this session a little bit more. The underlying principle is just practice some awareness. Be aware of your essence. Don't get lost in so many stories which you have not even written. Become in a step back and become aware of your spiritual essence, and from there go to the Lord's divine presence in your heart. I cannot tell you how much this simple practice, which means stop and give a little inner stillness a chance, has helped me. In that stillness, you think about your own self, who you really are, beyond these narratives, beyond these stories, these complex paths in which you are entangled at times, and then connect with the divine presence in the heart. And you can do that by doing a silent meditation. You can also communicate it takes you 1 minute. I mean, you can do it also for longer time, but I'm just saying, start somewhere. Tell yourself, in my truest essence, I'm eternal. I'm a blissful being full of inner knowing. And then connect in the heart with that divine self. If you like, you could also practice the divine smile. I like this very much, that I like the divine smile, which is not entangled in the problems of this world, the self-created problems which humanity has made, and because it pervades me, even every cell it pervades. I've seen people in other traditions who've told me that doing this meditation has removed cancer out of their body. You let this, the smile, the joy, just pervade everything of you. And one other very, very good way is really that you connect to the divine presence in the morning as a little morning ritual of gratitude. Yes, sit up in your bed, the first thing, say, I'm grateful to be alive. I'm grateful for another day where I have an opportunity to grow. Because gratitude is the road on which you can meet the beloved. Thankfulness is that condition of the heart that allows you to make contact with all these divine subjects. It's an entry. Rumi says, thankfulness brings you to the place where the beloved lives. And always remember, turn to the close divinity, not the philosophized, far away conceptualized divinity. Good. This is all I wanted to do today. We are a little over time, but no problem. I have a few announcements for you, too, actually. Please visit my Facebook page for the tips and the practices which you can do this week. We try to put something beautiful there. I'm not want to say too much here. And we will also upload the Divine Smile meditation tomorrow morning, Wednesday, the 15th of July, on the Facebook. Then, next and last announcement, it would be my pleasure if we can go through the sessions together. There are some real good things are coming up. The next session on Tuesday, the 21st of July, 21st of July, 8 p.m. CET, we will go into part 3. It will be the Bhakti experience. So, see you all, and thank you once again. Have a wonderful week filled with amazing insights so that your spiritual growth can go unimpeded forward. All the best.